Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You're going to have to be on your toes with that one. I'm going to say it more and more. So just keep an ear out for it, because this is the day where we celebrate that, right? And I kind of just gave it away a little bit. Sometimes we pastors like to begin preaching with kind of a bit of gravitas or something to start off to get your attention. But what better thing than saying, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But I did want to start with one other thing. I wanted to start actually with a question. Now, this question, you may take it differently depending on what the answer is. And some of you might be getting kind of nervous right now with what the question might be. But it's a very simple question. The question is, why are you here? Just think about that for a second. Why are you here? And another question is like it. What do you seek by being here? What are you seeking? This may, again, put you off kilter a little bit. Usually pastors don't go up to somebody that comes to church and goes, why are you here? What are you doing here? Right? We are glad that you're here. We're very glad that everyone is here today. But that is a question that just jumped out at me while I was preparing this, that in the service today, we all said together what the angels say to the two women that go to the tomb. They say, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you here, right? It's a startling question, especially if you put yourself in the place of the women who went to the tomb that Easter morning, expecting to see one thing and got something completely different. What did they expect to see? They expected, by all accounts, to see a dead Jesus, right? They brought the spices to anoint him. They brought the things to prepare his body for burial, not knowing that had already been done. But they brought these things thinking that their Lord was dead. And they were in for a rude awakening when the angel said, don't you remember what he told you? Were you not there? Did you not hear all the words that he said about how the Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day rise? Don't you remember these things? Why are you here? Right? And our situation is similar on some level, because it's important to know where our Lord can be found, right? That's really a big part of being a Christian, knowing where God can be found. And the crucified and living Lord is found where he promises to be. So before we get to where he promises to be, let's start with where he is not, okay? Where our Lord is not explicitly is in this darkened, dead world that we find ourselves in. Surely God is all around us, right? He is present no matter where we go. Yet, he's not explicitly promised to be out there in this world. And that is something that a lot of people are very confused about. A lot of people go about their lives trying to find God in all the wrong places. They seek the living God amongst that which is dead. All the things in this world promise a whole lot. But in the end, the only thing that they can deliver is death. Even Christians face the temptation to chase after those things that we think are very important because the world says that they are. You know, wealth, status, power, respect, authority, whatever, right? Whatever the case may be. But all those things that people chase incessantly and spend their whole lives obsessing over, those things pass away. Those things ultimately lead to death. Those things will not satisfy to the fullness that God can. There's a saying, actually, that was coined by Augustine, Saint Augustine. He said, "Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God." That in this world, there are so many things that promise everything, but in the end deliver nothing. So we know that our Lord is not explicitly in those things. He's not explicitly in wealth or power or anything else that the world would like to convince us of. So then the question is, where is God? Where does our Lord promise to be? Again, God is everywhere. Right? He is with you wherever you go. Even the unbelievers have God surrounding them in some sense, right? And yet, he is explicitly found here, in this place, and in all places that preach his word and deliver his sacraments, rightfully, according to his command. So, he is found in this place where his word is preached, right? When you come here, you're not like the women going to that tomb, seeking that which is dead. You come seeking that which is alive. Our Lord lives because he was crucified, and the author of life could not be held by death. But ultimately, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He has conquered death. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered sin. He has won the battle for you so that you can come to where he promises to be, where his word is proclaimed, just like it said. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day rise again. Remember how he told you where he is to be found, that in this place and in all places where you are washed clean of your sins by the waters of baptism, that in this place where the word of his pastors preach to you saying your sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ shed for you, remember how he told you, this is my body, this is my blood, take, eat, take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Remember how his word delivers these things to you. In this place, the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection are found. This is where his promises are fulfilled explicitly for you and delivered directly to you according to his lavish grace. And it's all for your good. It's all for you. It's all so that you would be built up in faith toward him more and more and more and more. Now, the reason why I said that question at the beginning might be a little jarring, might set you on your heels a little bit, is because Easter is a time, and some people will say, oh, Pastor, don't say it. Let's just enjoy the day. But the reality is that we probably see the biggest amount of people on a Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And thanks be to God. We are so glad that you're here. And it would just fill our hearts with joy to see you here week in and week out, every week, to hear more and more about how the promises of God are fulfilled for you in Christ. to hear more and more about what Jesus has done for you, not for his own sake, but for yours, how he has died for you, how Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So in this place, in the place where God's word is preached and his gifts are given, eternal life is here. Not because, not because of any of the external trappings, not because your pastor is such a great guy, not because your pastor can speak very well either, but Christ is here because his word says that he is. He promises to be here for you. And we would love to have you gather with us again more often so that you would stay in that life, to abide in the life of Christ in the midst of this dead world. We pray to see you more and more so that you may go out with the life that Christ wins for you into the darkness and the death of this world, shining the light of Christ so that all may see it and glorify God. This truly is a great day. It's a great day because we have everybody here, and ultimately it's a great day because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.